Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, March 10th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, the Prism Protocol Beginner's Guide Walkthrough. Let's take a listen.
Just tweeted it out and put it up top. There we go. It should be up top. Let me know once you're on mic to make sure you're seeing it.
It's loading up now. Just got to get awesome. A better signal. Thank you very much.
And I think Seffy was going to join us tonight, so hopefully he can help me commentate here. Do you see the Prism screen once you're up? Let me know, Mike, once you're live. Or if you guys give me a heart sign below that you see this Twitch stream. Awesome. Sounds like we're getting some heart signs below. Looks like Mike's good. All right. So it's 9:33. Probably start here shortly. So what I wanted to do tonight was more or less a beginner's guide to Prism. I know we, Peter's coming up. Hold on a second. Hey, Peter, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? I'm watching your show.
Cool. Thanks.
More.
You can help me.
Yeah.
Help me here. So, I think tonight's goal is really just kind of beginner's guide to Prism. I think it's an awesome protocol that's been built. Maybe by the end of this, you'll see the power of, as other assets come into this realm, what it can do and how it can be utilized. So the website's prismprotocol.app. If you haven't been there, it's prismprotocol.app. And the first tab that I'm on is the Refract tab. And I think the Refract tab is super powerful because there's really four main functions of it. And you can see there's four here. So there's the split, the bond, the merge, and the redeem. And when we talk about refracting something, what we're really saying is we're taking something and splitting it into the principal and the yield. So you can see here, if you have Luna, you can break it out into the P Luna and Y Luna. And essentially, it would be a one for one. So I'm actually going to buy a Luna real quick. I don't think I have any in my wallet right now, but let me just see here. Give me one second. So we can actually walk through this process.
While you do that, yeah. just so people are aware, what he's talking about is, so there's a part of your Luna that is earning your rewards, right? So that's paying you that yield that, like, I think it fluctuates between maybe like 8 and 10% or something to that effect. And then the other part is governance. So like casting votes about, you know, things that we can do with the protocol. So when you hear P Luna, think the voting rights and governance, and when you hear Y Luna, think like the yield. So like the interest that you would be making off of that particular token. So
yeah, thanks for that. That's very helpful. All right, so I ended up just buying a Luna so I can show you guys the process as you do this. So let me just refresh the screen so it gets my purchase. Okay. All right. So if I put my max Luna here for one, you'll see down here that it actually breaks up a P Luna and a Y Luna at the same amount of Luna that I'm breaking up. Okay. So it's not like it's 0.5 and it's 0.5. It's giving me a 1.03 and a 1.03. Because it's evaluating what I have and putting 1.03 and 1.03. Now, when we get to the price of Y Luna and P Luna, we can jump in there and talk about it and see why that's fluctuating. But it's important to know when I refract, it's giving me exactly what I'm coming out with. Okay. So I'm going to accept and split this. So let me confirm this 1 second, please. All right. And what I'm going to get is essentially 1.03 of P and 1.0 of Y. All right. So that's done. What you're going to see is now if I go to bond, or sorry, if I go back to merge, now I have a little bit of P Luna from something else that I've done. Essentially, I could go right back to C Luna. Okay. So I just want to make sure people understand this. The Luna was refracted to P Luna and Y Luna. So I had one Luna, it went from one P Luna to one Y Luna. And if I go to merge, if I go to one P Luna and one Y Luna, I go back to one C Luna, okay? Super important to remember that. You need to add the same two sides to get back to the whole. So if I went from one to one to one, I then can burn C Luna to get back to Luna. Let me just say that one more time. I had one Luna. I got one P Luna and Y Luna. If I want to go back, if I give one P Luna and Y Luna, I go to C Luna. And then from C Luna, I can go back to Luna. And that's a 21-day burn, just like everything else, if I want it to be whole in numbers. You can instant burn it, and that's the same concept that you do with B Luna and Luna, but you do lose the value of it. So one more time, just so everyone can see it. One Luna to one P Luna and Y Luna. If I refract it, I can merge it back. From one P Luna to Y Luna to one C Luna. And then C Luna needs to be burned back to Luna. If you guys can get that concept, a lot of the stuff we're going to talk about now is just the value of it. So the core things that you just got to remember in Prism is there's a principal side of it and a yield side of it. And then to go back to a C Luna, you have to add the same amount from each side to then burn back to Luna. And it is a 21-day period. So let's look at instant. I don't know if it will show me. Let me see if it will show me. Okay, so yeah. So if I needed to be liquid pretty quick, you see how you lose value between the C Luna and Luna? So like right now, you guys saw me refract 1.03 Luna, right? You saw me do that real time. I bought 1.03 and I refracted it. If I went right back to Luna right now, I would lose 0.05 of a Luna just because I need to get back to a Luna fast. If I go through a slow burn and I put 1.03, I get 1.03 back. That's important to remember because it's that 21-day period that you go through where when there's ARB opportunities, even though there's ARB opportunities and you go through the process, you probably will need to wait 21 to 24 days to realize those ARB opportunities. It's never instant in a lot of these cases. There's always that period to wait. Do you want to add anything, Peter, on that?
Yeah. One thing I love the site, by the way. Like, the site is awesome. The one thing that I will say that I dislike about it is that when you do come to that redeem tab, instant is the default. That's no bueno for me. So you need to be making sure, like, if you're trying to not lose out on, you know, 3 to 5%, you need to make sure that you're clicking slow burn. Because if right now you were just going there, la-di-da, you know, put max CELO and hit accept redeem, you'll have your money instantly, but you've essentially lost, you reverse ARB'd. you lost, you know, 3 to 5% based on, you know, what the rates are. Yeah. So definitely make sure you're doing slow burn if that's your intention.
So if you guys look at this, so I just refresh the page, go to refract. If I go to redeem and I'm not paying attention, and I've actually gotten this question in my DM and someone sent this to me earlier. They said, why am I getting 0.98 for my one? They're not realizing that they're checked on instant burn. So be very cautious when you're doing this to make sure you're on slow burn. So again, if you look at one, you get 0.96. When I click over to slow burn and I put one, I get one. So it's very important to remember. So good call out, Peter, on that one. So this is the main tab on refracting: split, bond, merge, and redeem. So we went over the split. You saw I split one Luna and I got one P Luna and Y Luna. Bond is more or less, if you guys are on Arbibot, it's ARBIE and then app, I think, on Twitter. Sometimes there are some good ARB opportunities. So I think last time we were in a space, and Peter, I think it was you. I think you're like, oh, 5% ARB right now on Arby app. So I came over here and I put 10 Luna in here, and my 10 Luna netted me another half a Luna, right? So, you know, that alone was like a free trade to give me, you know, $45 now, or $50 if it's $100 Luna.
Yeah. Where I like to look, if you go to this, this might be jumping ahead, so sorry.
Yeah, the swap. I'll get the swap. There.
Okay, yeah. That's usually how I check.
Yeah, we can show people that. But if you have the Arby app up and you are monitoring it, you should definitely check on Arby if there's a good ARB. This is where you would take your Luna if you have some. And go to see Luna and then quickly go to redeem and then slow burn it, right? So let's play this out so people can visualize it. Let's assume there was an ARB right now of 5%. You would see, you know, 10 would give you 10.5, I think, if my math's right. You would get 10.5 down here. And then that 10.5, you would go here and burn it back to Luna. And in 21 days, you'd have half a more Luna. So that's something you should definitely pay attention to as you guys go through it. I think that's probably good on the refract. If anyone wants to come up and ask a question, come up now and we'll kind of go tab by tab, because I don't want to keep the space too long. We'll go tab by tab, keep it beginners, and just kind of bust through this. So anyone to come up and ask a question on refract? If not, we'll go to the probably the swap tab next.
I'll just add a comment. So sometimes you'll be able to go on something like Astroport or TerraSwap to swap your like B Luna for, you know, Luna or even UST or something like that. Just to kind of let you guys know, right now the only place that you can trade your C Luna is on Prism. I'm not sure if they have intentions of expanding that or having it, you know, be traded, you know, like B Luna on Astroport or something like that. So if you do have C Luna, the only place that you can do anything with it at this time is on Prism. So that's just something to kind of keep in mind. Like if you have a C Luna floating around in your wallet, it's not really doing you any good. I mean, unless you're, you know, staking it or something like that. But the only place that you can trade it, you know, split it, bond it, merge it, redeem it is on Prism Protocol at this time. So
what's up, Fatality?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for the space. I just wanted to ask about the RBBOT and the, like, the numbers we should be looking for. What's a good arbitrage point, and what should we avoid?
So I like to set my alerts greater than 2 to 2.5% or 3%. It's kind of what you're looking for, to be honest. You know, the Luna to BLUNA has been running around 2% almost every day. Like, you can pretty much wake up every day and find a 2% burn mechanism between Luna and BLUNA. For the CLUNA, I actually bumped it up. I think I put 3 or greater, if I'm not mistaken, just because, you know, a lot of my Luna and BLUNA is sitting on Anchor, and I like that process. I haven't shifted it over to Prism yet, but it's more of a personal preference. And with the RB app on Telegram, you can set each parameter that you want. So if you're looking for a certain number on CLUNA versus BLUNA, you can just set that up based off of your preference. That makes sense.
Yeah, I have the same experience. Mine's about, I think I'm 2.5% on like BLUNA. And then for CLUNA, I made it a little bit more, because the thing with CLUNA is you have your intention needs to be to, you know, refract it. Whereas BLUNA, I can swap it, keep it in my wallet, or use it for, you know, to post as, you know, additional collateral on Anchor. So there's more use for BLUNA for me. So if I am going to ARB CLUNA, I like it to at least be a little bit more, just because I know I'm going to have to refract it and stake it, or I'm going to have to go through a 21-day burn instead. So, and I already kind of have like a little system for my BLUNA burning. So I would want it to be more advantageous if I was going to do CLUNA, just personally. But
yeah, so like for me, like one of the things I did is I built a spreadsheet that I actually put where I have my LUNA in every spot, right? So let me actually just pull it up and give you guys a reference of what I've done, so you know kind of how I think about this. So from a spreadsheet perspective, I put what do I have in my wallet? What do I have in my burn strategy? What do I have in my Terra Swap liquidity pool? What I have in my Astroport liquidity pool? What I have in my Anchor Borrow as collateral? What do I have in Stator Luna X? What do I have in Stator liquidity pool? What I have in Stator Stake Plus? What I have in Nexus Protocol? And then what I have in Prism Protocol? So why I did that was because, like Peter said, there's some things that I want to do on a daily basis, maybe on like the burn strategy, but there's other things where, like, if I want to just find a good ARB somewhere else, I don't really touch my other strategies. I focus on these other, you know, LUNAs that I have in the other ecospheres to maybe capture the ARB rates. So I would like my, I guess, like if I was teaching someone or telling someone, I was like, think about what your strategy is overall and how you want to allocate the different LUNAs you have to make it work for you in a way where if something does come up, you're ready to utilize that ARB. Does that help, Fatality?
Yes, yes, it does. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Nano, go ahead.
Yeah, so with the RBBOT, it shows a LUNA to BLUNA plus YLUNA. And like right now, it's a 4.06%. I'm wondering how you can take advantage of that.
Sorry, say that again. You kind of sounded out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, good enough. Go ahead.
Okay. So in RBBOT, there's
under the Prism, they have a LUNA to P LUNA plus Y LUNA.
And it's showing
as a little more than 4% at this point.
Right. So if I jump ahead real quick and I go to the merge, let me see here. You said it's a 4%?
Yeah.
So my guess is that the 4% is right here between C Luna and Luna, and that's a 4% difference between Luna and C Luna. So if essentially what it's saying is if I bought Y Luna and Luna right now, and then I go back from C Luna to Luna, what it would cost me to get a C Luna is 4% less than the Luna. See how that is right here on my screen? The 94.6 to 92.5.
Yep.
So it's essentially like it's essentially like buying B Luna directly, like we talk about in my other spaces.
Right.
If you bought C Luna directly, you actually are saving 4% on what you would buy a Luna for.
Got it.
Does that make sense? I think that makes sense. So for those listening, I can buy one Luna right now for $92.56 versus buying one Luna for $94.65. The difference is, though, if I want to use that Luna somewhere else, I need to wait 21 to 24 days to burn it to get back to Luna.
Yeah. The other thing I'll add to that is just because you see that, you know, whatever that is, a $2 gap between it, you have to be careful. So since all of the, like, the liquidity for Prism is in Prism, you can't try and swap for like 10 of those and get that rate, I guess. Yeah. Is what I'm saying. So you can't trade, you know, 10 Luna for whatever it would be, C Luna. It would actually, just because of the liquidity on the, or how it's doing the market making. I think Seffy mentioned something about it today, but since everything's done on this exchange, it's not going to be at the higher quantities you go, the more slippage is going to happen.
Yeah, so there's not a liquidity on the platform to handle big trades. So if you took 1,000, you'd probably move the market yourself.
Yeah, so you're always wanting to do the, you know, put the numbers in and see how the spread plays around with. Yeah,
right.
So, like, unfortunately, I never have an opportunity to move the market yet.
Yeah,
still working on that.
We'll all get there someday. We'll all get there. But no, I mean, it's a good thing, because I think that's where people need to spend more time at, is like really understanding, you know, put $100 in and see what it does, or see what the actual numbers are compared to what you're seeing from an RB app. Because even though the RB app might be telling you something, by the time you go there or by the time you do something, it probably would have moved. So just confirm what you're hearing.
Yeah. So on this, can you change that upper one to just regular Luna?
Yeah, let me do that. So if I put
one in, yeah.
Yeah, if I put one, I'll get 1.016. So it's a 1.6% ARB right now.
But now do like 10 or 100 and you'll see it drop drastically.
Yeah. See the difference? So
again, if you're going to do stuff, you definitely want to be making sure it's doing what you're intending it to do. I think the popular thing going around a couple of weeks ago was a guy, I think it was on TerraSwap, swapped like, it was like, I don't know, a ridiculous amount of money, and he got like 3,000 like USDC just because there was no liquidity, you know, on the platform. So definitely be mindful if you're, I mean, this isn't bad, right? Because if you were going to do 100 anyway, you're getting, you know, 0.7 C Luna free. So one thing I like to do, if I'm going to refract my Luna and I already have it in my wallet, I'll come here first to see if I'll get like a little piece more, because maybe my 10 Luna that I'm going to refract might be 10.5 or 10.25. And then when I go to refract that, now instead of getting 10 Y and P, I'll get 10.25 Y and P. And then, you know, obviously if you're throwing that into a pool with interest and stuff like that, you know, every little bit makes a difference, right? So
yeah. So look at the difference if I went to Astroport. So 100 Luna gets you 102.4, but on Prism, 100 Luna only gets you 100.73. So, you know, I would tell people, ensure that they're price shopping per se, if you're burning, because one, you're waiting those 21 days, and definitely go after what you can get at the most, because you guys are seeing every little bit matters as you accumulate more. I mean, it's super powerful if you stay on a schedule and you continue to arb when you can and build whatever you have. Because let's just say, you know, not financial advice, but if it goes to 1,000 someday, that 0.1 or 0.2 or 0.3 that you get more will matter over time. Like, it definitely won't matter. Cool. All right. So let's go to the swap. We talked about the refract. The swap is essentially the DEX on Prism, where you can do all the changes of whatever you want to buy. So let's just say you just wanted to go straight up UST to, you know, P Luna or Y Luna or C Luna or Luna or Prism or X Prism. You can do all that here. So the swap tab to me is like its own little DEX to where you can buy the certain assets that you want versus refracting a Luna. Okay. Now, why you need this, I'll give you a couple examples. So I've refracted Luna, and what I've done in the past, I kind of done it both ways. I've just straight up sold my Y Luna and went straight to P Luna because maybe I said in my mind, well, P Luna is really cheap right now. And in the end, if I think P Luna is going to go up, I'll get more P Luna now and then just buy Y Luna later. The other example would be I want to sell my P Luna for more Y Luna. Or, you know, with the example we just talked about, maybe you just want to go straight to C Luna. Like, you can kind of play with any scenario once you have the opportunity to utilize any of these to go to any of these other ones. The real question is what's your goal and what are you trying to do with it? Most people probably just stick to refracting and then staking and keeping whatever they refracted so they're not worried about price movement in the future. Because if you recall, when you have to go back, you have to give an equal amount of share from P Luna to Y Luna to get back to Luna. So like for me, let's say I sold my P Luna really cheap to get more Y Luna, then I'm on the hook to figure out how to get that P Luna back when I want to go back to Luna. So I would say a little more advanced when you get into swapping these. But the DEX to do that is all right here in with what you want to do. Any commentary you want to add to that, Peter?
Nope. And again, just like with the letter Lunas, Prism and X Prism at this time are the only place you can get it is here. You can't go get it on TerraSwap. You can't go get it on Astroport. Has to be done. Bought and sold through Prism.
So swap is the place to do all of that fun stuff. And then up here, you know, I would say these are a snapshot. I think what you guys just saw is when you put the real price in and based off the amount, I wouldn't really trust these just yet. I would see what you're getting when you actually put the numbers in. A lot of these sites, I've come to find out that you have to kind of refresh. It doesn't auto refresh like typical websites that you're used to. All these are probably going to change here in a second once I refresh that. So just a little tip and trick. So let's say I refracted and I have P Luna and C Luna. You're like, great. What the hell can I do with those? Right. Well, that comes down to now the power of other protocols or this protocol on what you can use it for. So currently, P Luna, there's not much you can do with it. I think there is in the future things coming out that you'll be able to utilize it for collateral. But if you guys see the price, which is really interesting, P Luna is worth $17.88 and Y Luna is worth $74.74. So just look at that difference right there, right? If someone would have said you're refracting it into a P and a Y, you typically be like, oh, it's a 50-50 balance. Well, the market, right? The market right now is determining that Y Luna is a lot more valuable. And you're probably asking yourself, well, why is it more valuable, right? Well, the value is coming from what you can do probably with what these assets are. And currently, if you go to stake, so we're going to go to the stake tab, there is Y Luna staking and Prism Farm staking. In both these cases, you're putting up your Y Luna as staking to earn something. Okay. And we can jump into each one of these, but real quick, let's just look at these numbers. So the Y Luna staking is 656,000 versus the total staked on the Prism Farm at 1.68 million. So you kind of can see where the market is more bullish on. They're more bullish on the Prism Farm. And we'll get into that in a second. That's because of the amps of upping the APR. And I'll show that. But this is right now part of what you can do with your Y Luna. So let me jump into the Y Luna staking. If you had Y Luna and you wanted to stake it, so just one quick thing here. If you just joined, there's a live stream link up top. It's going off of Twitch. Right now, we're on prismprotocol.app. We've shown how to refract your Luna, and what we're doing with it is showing what you can do with the Y Luna. So if I wanted to stake my Y Luna and I hit stake, I can put the Y Luna that I have right here. So I hit stake. I have 1.03 Y Luna in my wallet, and I can confirm that. With that confirmation, I can get a 9.1% APR on my Y Luna. It's not bad. I mean, it's almost 10%. It's not bad at all. And you can just hold your P Luna in your wallet. And when you're done, you can put your P Luna and Y Luna back together and get back to C Luna, then Luna. Not a bad option. The other piece that you can do where people have been more bullish lately is with this Prism Farm. So you can see here in one of my wallets, I have 10 Y Luna staked. And with that 10 Y Luna, I'm getting a base APR of 44.6%, but my AMPS is also adding an additional 54.55% APR. So we'll get an AMPS into a second, but just ignore this AMPS APR. If you just staked your Y Luna right now in this Prism Farm, your base APR should be the same across, I believe, all of us. It should be right around 44.6%. And what you're earning with that is the Prism tokens that are being rewarded over a vesting period, right? So just like when we talk about Anchor Protocol, and you get rewarded ANK tokens, or if you go to like Apollo or other sites, when you get rewarded their tokens, they're paying this APR based off of the rewards of Prism tokens that you're getting paid out. And then you have the option of what you want to do with that. You could just sell them on the market, or if you believe you're bullish over time, you could keep them in your wallet. And there's a benefit to keeping, which we'll get to in a second. So I'll stop there. Peter, add any commentary at the same time. Anyone that wants to come up and ask some questions, let's do it now before we get into AMPS.
Yeah, I guess I'll just add, like, if you are doing the just the Y Luna staking, you essentially get all the things that you would get if you were just staking your Luna. So you get equal portions of P Luna and Y Luna. You get like ANK tokens, Valkyrie tokens. So like all the normal things that you would get staking your Luna, you get. And they've actually made, I stepped away for just a second, but did you show like on the claim screen when you claim your Y Luna, and this is not the Prism Farm, this is only if you're staking Y Luna, because maybe, you know, if you don't want Prism tokens, then you should not do the Prism farm. In the rewards tab, when you claim your rewards, there's like an automatic convert. So like you can choose to get your rewards, you know, in kind, like as they're issued, or you can have them delivered to you. So like, oh, you can't go to claim and convert because you don't have any. A cool interface pops up and it says, hey, here's all your rewards for your staking, and you can convert it to X Prism, Prism, Y Luna, P Luna, or not convert it at all and just claim them, like I said, in kind. So kind of cool that they give you those options, you know, based on obviously your own personal preference. Like maybe you want to just claim all your rewards in Y Luna and then, you know, loop, throw it right back into staking, or maybe because of all the anchor shit going on, you want to claim them all in, actually anchor's not an option, but you would claim it in kind and just get everything as it stands and do it that way. So that's interesting if you're doing just the Y Luna staking. If you're in the Prism farm, then obviously all your rewards for the next year, or 13 months, or I guess it's 12 months, but there's a 13 or there's a 30 day delay on your distribution. Then you would want to be in the Prism farm because then it's automatically giving you the rewards in Prism or Prism. I think when ultimately you can claim, I think there's a way that when you claim it, you can claim it and roll it back into X Prism, but we still have I guess like 20 some odd days before anyone can claim their first rewards, because as they vest daily. They vest daily, but you cannot claim them for 30 days. So,
yep, I showed that. Go ahead, Mantis. What's up?
So the only I'm seeing there's a staking in the farm versus just staking, and there's a 45% versus 9%.
Yeah,
is the only difference between that is you get paid out in Prism.
That's correct. So Prism on the Prism farm, and then the Y Luna. What Peter was saying was, you can get paid, you can claim and then claim in kind or convert to what you want to convert to.
Well, I got to go back down to a listener because I can't hear because I'm a speaker now.
Oh, really? My bad?
I mean, it's you.
Yeah, that response was bad. Yeah.
It's only for us, the speakers now. So how do I go back down to a listener?
I'll send you back. Hold on. Okay. So, Mantis, your question was, the difference between the Y Luna staking and the Prism farm. In the Y Luna, you can claim and convert to whatever you can convert to in the options. So that claim and convert. So if you want to convert everything to Y Luna or P Luna or convert it, will. And for the Prism, you are getting paid in Prism tokens. So that is the difference between the APR and where the benefit is between those two. Peter, can you hear me or no?
I get the gist of what you're saying. Okay. The only thing that I'll add to that is the Prism farm also has, and I'm sure Lucky's going to touch on it here in just a second, has that you can take advantage of the amps boost.
Yeah.
So that's something we haven't obviously covered yet, but that's another differentiator. So essentially you're boosting, you see that total APR is 99.1. It's being boosted because Lucky has essentially staked some of his Prism or locked it up on the Prism site to increase his rewards that he's getting in the Prism farm, which
didn't go over that one yet. I'll go over that in a second.
Yeah, but that's another, like, just the other difference, but we'll cover that here.
Yeah, I'm waiting to hear about the amps. I knew that was coming. So, but is there any... there's no other additional risk or anything with getting the 44% and just taking it in the Prism, other than the fact that, not that I would expect it, but the Prism price can change. But other than, you know, there's no risk of losing your money or anything like that. And then also the I guess both ways, you have to wait a 21 days or something, or is it 30 days for the Prism tokens because of the
So the Prism is off of. Can you hear me, Mantis, or no?
I can. It's a little shaky, but.
A little choppy. Okay. The Prism vests in, you'll see here, 4/6, 4/7, 4/8. So it's about 30 days, 30-day vesting.
Okay, so the different is a little bit longer, and you get prism tokens instead, and then we'll get into the ants. Okay.
Correct. I'm with cool. You. I'll send you back down. Yep.
So on the Y Luna, you can claim at a regular cadence, like there's no holding period. So as your rewards slowly tick up, if you want to pull that money out, obviously you have to, you know, take into account transaction fees and things like that. But, you know, maybe every $5 you pull it out or something like that. And that will obviously depend on how much Y Luna you have staked in the pool. But that's fairly liquid. You can claim and convert it, you know, as it kind of gets dumped into, you know, that pool. So, or that, you know, staking contract that you've entered in. So,
yeah. All right, so let's talk about the amps real quick to show you why I'm getting an additional 54.47 APR. So, hold on, one question coming up. Give me a second. Hey, Alex, what's up?
I just wanted to throw in one more question quickly about the Y Luna staking. Not the farm, the Y Luna staking side. Are the P Luna and Y Luna rewards paid 50-50, or is it dictated by market price?
The Y Luna and P Luna pay 50-50.
So when you Y Luna, you get P Luna rewards, Y Luna rewards, and airdrops. So or if I have one Y Luna staked, are my rewards of P Luna and Y Luna going to tick up at exactly the same rate, or is that going to change based on like what price the two different assets are selling for?
Peter, do you know that answer? I don't want to misspeak on this one. I think it's 50-50. But,
yeah, so as it ticks up in equal
parts. So you'll always be able to refract it back together, whatever the amount your rewards are.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Thanks
correct.
For that.
Yes. So, yeah, your rewards.
And
your airdrops
are as if you were holding it in your wallet and were the airdrops you were getting. So it's kind of like the bonus piece.
So they're essentially like you won't miss your airdrops because they're already constantly claiming them for you, and then you just pull them out of Prism when you want correct. Them. Okay. That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Correct. Good question. Thank you for asking that. Can you hear me, Alex, or am I breaking up for you too?
Yeah, you are breaking up. It is what it is. It's not as bad as it has been other times right now.
So frustrating. Okay. All right.
Yeah, it was fine for me most of the night until right now. It's kind of bad. So sorry if I'm stepping over you sometimes.
All right.
I'm gonna
go back. Now
I'm still on the clock at work.
Okay, drop back down so you can hear. All right, Sefi, we might be fighting the speaker co-host bug, but
how's my voice?
Any better?
You're great.
Okay, I think yours is the one going in and out. So yeah, sorry for showing up late.
We are on the. Peter, can you hear me? We're on the stake tab right now, so we're going over the staking methods.
I was going to say, you might want to keep Sefi as a speaker instead of a co-host. It might circumvent that issue.
Okay. Is he? Can you hear him if he talks, Sayak, or no?
I can, but the minute he became a co-host, it starts to get all jumbled up again. But all the people below can hear him just fine, I'm sure. So.
Okay. All right, let's try that, Sefi.
Is this any better?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, good. So
we're on the staking.
Okay.
So we just talked about the benefits of Y Luna staking versus the Prism Farm staking, and we're just about to get into amps. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I think so. You're still cutting in and out, but I think I caught you.
Okay, cool. So we're going to talk about the amps. Sefi, do you want to go over the amps maybe since I'm breaking up so everyone can hear?
All right. Yeah, basically right now, so you have your you assume you have some Prism tokens. You can go in there and stake them. Let me actually open up on my my own phone here so I can kind of walk through it really clearly.
I'm on the govern tab with the Prism staking where you can stake, and then I can go to the AMPS vault.
Okay. So first is the just the Prism token itself, and the way that it works is you basically go down, you hit your stake button, and when you stake it, you pick an amount, and it goes from the little white circle with a black triangle symbol to the black circle with the white triangle symbol. And basically what happens when you stake is you're getting a liquid staking token in the form of X Prism. And X Prism, you can sell it immediately. So it's not like you have to go through a 21-day unstaking. But you may not get very good exchange rates when you do that. So you'll notice on the staking page, there's an APR of 23.17%. That APR is the transaction yields of all the different activities on the protocol. Some fraction of them are going to the XPRISM holder in the form of yield. That yield is accumulating in the XPRISM token's value. So you'll notice like the Prism price is 0.5385 approximately. And if you look at the exchange rate, it's 1.026 Prism for every XPRISM, meaning that if you use the unstake button, which I can't do in my case because I don't have any to unstake. If I use the unstake button, then...
I just bought $50 with the Prism and staked it on my screen so people can see it.
So if you try to unstake it, you'll notice that there's an unstaking period involved. And if you use the unstaking period, you're going to get a perfect conversion of the value of X Prism to the number of Prism tokens it's worth. So right now, you have an exchange rate of 1.0262, which a month from now, after it's accumulated another, like, let's say, 25% APR or something like that, the exchange rate will be, you'll get more Prism for the same amount of X Prism, right? Because it's accumulating in value. And that's how a liquid stake token like that works. The coin is accruing in value as time goes on. And the way you realize that gain is by using the unstake button, and then you'll get more Prism tokens at the end of the day. So presumably you would unstake them so that you could either sell them or use them in the liquidity pools and such. So you got all that on the Twitch there already, Lucky?
Yeah, so I've bought the Prism. I was about to go to the Amps to... pledge my ones that I just bought to show people.
Oh,
that.
Gotcha. Okay. So you go to the Amps tab. You'll notice at the top, you've got your, it'll say how many total X Prism are in the Amps vault. That means of all the possible X Prism holders. You have the X Prism APR, which is in this case right now, 23.17%. It tells you how long you've been amping for, how many days, hours, and minutes. And really all that means is how long have you pledged your Prism tokens that you have, and you're accruing amps as you over time, essentially. So essentially being rewarded for not unstaking. And that's basically what's happening here.
Yeah, so for me, you guys can see I have about 2,000 X Prism pledged. I've been amping for 15 days. With that 15 days, I've accumulated 8,000 amps earned. And I'm going to pledge the other $50 that I just bought. That will then go into this unactivated. Actually, it's going to go into the pledged X Prism, and then my multiplier will increase. And based off my multiplier, I need to activate those amps for me to up my APR back on the Y Luna staking that we were just covering. That's how I was getting the 99% APR.
Yeah. So, how much X Prism you have in relationship to how much actual Luna you have has to do with how much APY you're going to get as a booster on your Y Luna. So like in my case, I think the case he described, you're getting what's your total yield right now?
99%.
Okay. So in my case, let's see what I'm getting.
97%. Sorry.
97%. Okay. Let me check mine and see what I'm getting. 'Cause I'm not getting that much.
520%. What are you getting?
Let me check real quick. Prism Farm. So if you go to the stake button, okay, here we go. So I've got a total APR of 70.98%. And that's because the amount of Luna I must have compared to how much Prism I've pledged is probably less than Lucky's, in the sense that, like, I haven't accumulated as much amps relative to the amount of Y Luna in the pool. Right. So, like, in my case, the base APR is 43.87%, and my amps APR is 27%. So, in total, I'm getting 71.
Yeah. So let me just rewalk people through. I know I'm probably breaking up for you, Steffi, but let me just rewalk the listeners through. So, if you buy Prism, you can buy Prism or X Prism directly. Once you have that X Prism, if you pledge it, then you get to amps, and the amps boost the APR you're getting in that staking pool that we just talked about. That's the benefit of holding that X Prism and pledging it and working towards more amps. Did you catch that, Peter? Sire?
Yeah, I think everyone else catches it better than I am because you're breaking up for me. So go ahead.
No, you're good. Go ahead. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Now, so yeah, that's basically the idea is that this is essentially rewarding you for owning the X Prism token, for keeping it in staking, for which you're getting yield on, which is awesome. And then additionally, it's a booster effect on the yield of Y Luna, which you're basically getting a much higher yield than you otherwise would. So what's happening here is the people that are holding larger quantities of Y Luna larger quantities of Prism compared to how much Y Luna they have are actually able to get a much higher APR on the Luna that they're actually staking. So what is the right balance here in terms of how much X Prism versus Y Luna to hold, I think, is really the debate. I don't know that there's a right answer to that. Right now, the APR for X Prism is a little bit lower than it is for Y Luna, obviously. But when I bought the X Prism token, it was like closer to 30 cents on average. And now it's closer to 50 cents. So it's obviously increase in value. So there's kind of like a flywheel effect of the reasons why people would hold the Prism token, why they'd want to hold it longer, and then the yield on Y Luna. Have you covered it all, Lucky, like what you would do with your P Luna in this situation? Because you're getting both Y Luna and P Luna when you refract your Luna.
We didn't cover what we can do with it yet. We just covered the refracting.
Got it. So you didn't get into the liquidity pools and all
not,
that yet?
Not yet. I was going to have you talk to at the LPs.
Okay.
Let me just say one thing before. So yeah, you guys can see here that I've just pledged more X Prism. My amps will boost per day now because I've upped that. And if you guys see unactivated amps here, you actually need to push this to activate them, which will then in turn continue to up your APR. So for me, like every couple days, I come in here and just activate. So I let this accumulate more amps. So I don't know, Steffi, your strategy around the amps boosting on what you do.
Yeah, you can basically push that button like every day or two, depending on how much it's really going to affect you. If you have a huge amount in this, like, yeah, probably daily helps. If it's not as much, maybe every other day or something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. So we're going to go to the liquidity pools now, but let me ask if anyone has questions, come up now, ask your question, and then I'll probably send you back down as a listener so you can hear the answer. Any questions around amps or X Prism or staking? Ask now.
Maybe we should cover some strategic things here related to these issues, because what are the benefits and like risks in this situation. Outside of any smart contract risk or anything like that, let's just assume that this is audited and it's working properly, but there's always smart contract risk issues. You never have 100% guarantees of anything, but let's assume that aside, let's just talk like like price strategy and what this means. Well, in this situation, you're committing to the X Prism token, right? Because so far, if all you did was refract your Y Luna and P Luna and you wanted to convert that back, you could do that very easily and do so with no loss whatsoever to the original count of Luna that you had. And you can do so with the addition of having acquired a bunch of Prism tokens in this case. The risk happens if you were to, let's say, sell some of your P Luna or your Y Luna, and you're trying to speculate on the price of one or the other. Like, for example, if you sell your P Luna and buy Y Luna or vice versa, then you get into some kind of like price risks in theory. But even before that, you're taking some Prism token risk, right? Like, you know, you don't know for sure that that's going to go up. Or let's say the APRs of the pools start falling because they're oversubscribed, right? If a lot of people are doing this, then the more people that are involved, the more diluted it gets, right? Especially if you don't have a large fraction of the Prism token, you're not getting as much yield. As the yields fall, it's DeFi, so what ends up happening is you start seeing people potentially exit that project. You know, they're not doing as much as they used to. So the primary risk when you sort of ape into something like this, when the APRs are high, is that let's say the Prism token goes down in price, right? That would be a price risk that you might take here. It's mitigated somewhat by the interest rate. So if you can maintain in the Prism protocol like a 20% APY, you know, all year, then it's sort of like helping mitigate a 20% downside risk. But basically, there is some, you know, exposure to the Prism token. Then you have to ask yourself, okay, well, is this a good price for the Prism token if I buy it right now? Is it worth messing around with a Y Luna yield booster if the Prism token that I buy could go down? You know, like anything, it's like the Prism token is something where you should probably sort of dollar cost average into it in theory. Like, you could always get more Prism token if the price drops for some reason. So you want to be careful in the sense that, like, whatever amount you get right now, you should be comfortable with whatever like downside pricing pressure there would be, and you should be comfortable like getting more if it goes down. Otherwise, like, it doesn't make any sense. So what you would do is basically, like, right now, I think it's like 53 cents or something. You could get some, you could stake it. And then if it goes down further, then you can get some more. Let me think, what else, might you do here? Oh, and of course you're getting Prism tokens as a reward for actually, the staking of your, X Prism and farming with Y Luna, right? So with the farming of Y Luna to farm the Prism token, it's basically inflating the amount of Prism token in the actual token supply that's available circulating, right? So that could have downward pressure if people don't hold that. Now, why would people hold and restake their Prism token? Because they want to preserve, not necessarily increase, but preserve their fraction of the total Prism pool so that the yield to their Y Luna come to them. So it's like a war of who can have as much Prism token to improve the yield on their Y Luna. And that's the game people are playing, right? So hopefully that kind of clarifies what's happening there and why you would kind of theoretically hold your X Prism. Hold your Prism tokens that you're getting. But there's a vesting period involved too. Like, I think it's a month. So you can't claim it immediately. So there's a vesting period. And at the end of that month, there might be people dumping the token. So strategically, you might watch for that period where the first people started to like claim those tokens and then get the vesting period, because that might be a time when the price might drop and you might be able to get it cheaper. So these are sort of like some strategic tricks to watch for, basically. And I don't know what that date's going to be as far as like when the first unlocks happen, but you can imagine there'll be some sellers, right? There always are. And you know, if they overwhelm the number of new buyers, then of course it causes the Prism tokens price to potentially fall at that time. Okay. So
yeah, I just wanted to add, like, so one of the things I think they're going to try and do is they have levers that they can boost that APR to kind of prevent selling pressure. because if anyone at any time does unstake their X Prism, say it goes up to a dollar and that, you know, that 1 month vesting period, so April, you know, whatever is coming up, and Prism's at a dollar and you're like, man, I doubled my money on this because I got it at 50 cents. If you unstake that Prism, that amps boost that you've built up resets to zero. So any touching of the X Prism pledge that you have, that percentage that you have staked or that you're adding to, the moment that you unpledge that, your amps reward. So right now in Lucky's case, if he were to pull that out, he would be losing 55% on his Y Luna Prism Farm staking. It would reset. It's not that it would go to zero, but then he would have to, you know, add more X Prism and pledge it, and his amps would essentially start from zero again. So that's kind of like an interesting widget that there.
And you might consider there's a couple of types of speculators here too. You have the speculator who is basically speculating purely on the Prism token, so that if it moons, like if it, you know, does a 4x or something from, you know, 25 cents all the way up to a dollar, you might have a person, you know, dumping that and selling it, right? That's one possibility. The other possibility is that the other possibility is some people, as the tokens get vested, they might simply sell the additional Prism tokens purely from the perspective of like maybe reducing risk in that token. There's all sorts of reasons why price can go up and down, in other words, and you shouldn't assume anything. I think you just have to have a thesis of, okay, I want to maximize my Y Luna yield because I have a lot of it. Then I want to use the Prism token to the best of my ability, and I want to do this maybe all year. You want to have a long-term strategy of some kind.
I mean, my thesis, right or wrong, is Prism will continue to grow, bring on additional assets that need to be refracted. So the Prism token to me is a long-term hold. I don't know where you're at, Sefi, on that one.
Yeah, here's an interesting situation that happened just now. I think Sayak just posted, he's like, the P Luna token just jumped in price from like $12 to $17. So what I did there, so I refracted to P Luna and Y Luna. I forget what exact price, but I know my P Luna value was about $12 the time that I refracted. And so my Y Luna is already sitting up, locked up in staking for the amps boost and all that, right? But my P Luna just jumped in value. And I technically, I, you know, not bought it, but I, when I refracted it, it was cheaper, right? So since it jumped from $12 to like $17.50, I just sold my P Luna portion of it. And I sold it into UST first, just so I know that I'm getting the right amount that is due, because it's hard to calculate when you're trying to jump directly to Luna. But then I, on Astroport, used that UST, and I just went and bought some bonded Luna with it, because it's at a 2.5% discount. So I just got like the free extra money because I was able to quickly get a big jump in price on P Luna. Because, right, 12 cents to 17 cents is a sizable jump, like instantaneously, right? It's just basically free money. And then I was able to convert it to more Luna. And then not only that, but I was able to get the 2.5% B Luna ARB. And then I just set that to burn just now. So just to sort of reference like what I did there. And then with that excess, like technically, if I wanted to come back and free my Y Luna from the jail, I could eventually go and buy P Luna. And my hope would be I could buy P Luna cheaper again. And then I would be able to like convert, like connect that with my Y Luna and extract it at some point in the future. Right. So that's how Prism works, where you can basically have a yield portion that you lock in at some level. And then you have the P Luna token that if you play your cards right, you can actually end up like, you know, possibly buying it low and selling it high and doing some other fun things with it without sacrificing the yield that you already are earning. That's the exciting part about that. So if people are like confused about why this thing even exists, it's because it allows you to speculate on some of the price action while preserving your yield portion to one degree or the other.
Yeah, no, I think that's good context there. So I think just to recap, we've refracted, we've showed the staking, we showed how AMPs can boost the APR for your staking, and now we're getting into the liquidity pools. So the pools tab shows each liquidity pool that you can get into. It has the last 24-hour APR of what you can earn. And then again, when we talk about the benefit of Prism and X-Prism, you can see here in each one the Prism tokens needed. So that's a little bit of the history of why Prism is always needed on this protocol, and also why for me long-term, you know, the Prism token's a hold for me, because it's always needed in the transactions that are done on this platform. So Sefi, do you want to talk about the liquidity pools and maybe what people should look at when doing LPs here?
Yeah, okay. So let me flip to this on my own system here. Okay, so in the pool section, you have essentially every possible coin that you might interact with this system has a liquidity pool. Each of those pools is paired with the Prism token. The reason why they're all paired with the Prism token is that way you can convert from one token to the other through the Prism token routing. And you could get from, say, for example, with the Prism UST pool, if you wanted to sell Prism, but you wanted to convert directly to, say, P Luna, you could do it directly because in the background, the system's going to route it by taking your Prism, selling its UST, taking that UST, and then buying you P Luna with it. So that's the concept of routing, where essentially you have a primary central coin like Prism, and all transactions happen via those pairs. So first mechanic to understand is that. And then the second is that any new coins that come to this system, like let's say you're going to refract your anchor token or something like that, every new pair that emerges is going to be paired with the Prism token. And you have to have a similar number of pools to do that. And therefore, the Prism token, part of the reason why I believe it's going to be valuable long term, and why me personally, I'm not going to sell it, is if just with the Luna that's in this system now, the Prism token is already worth like 50 cents and like 78% of them is staked, right? Like there's just not that much Prism token left. And for all the other stuff that's going to happen on Prism, you know, people are going to have to pair that with more Prism token. And the process of doing that, the price of the Prism token is going to, in my view, skyrocket over time. So there's going to be lots of different assets that are going to be coming for refraction and such. And that's why, like, that part's relevant. Now, the reason why that's relevant also is because if the Prism token is presumably going to go up in value, okay, we're going to assume that for now. If that's the case, then you have to like think about that in the context of entering into liquidity pools, right? Because anytime the Prism token price goes up in a liquidity pool, it's going to sell off into rebalancing into the opposite side of the pool. Or if the other side of the token goes up, like your X Prism or your C Luna or whatever on this list of pools, then that side of the pool is going to sell off to balance into the Prism token. So my general philosophy is I prefer to be in a pool where I believe the probability is high that both sides are going to go up over time. So one of the ones I entered was the P Luna Prism pool. Why? Because when I entered it, the P Luna price was low, so therefore the upside I thought was possibly higher. And I entered it because I figured the Prism token would go up as well. So if the Prism token goes up, then I'll end up with more P Luna. If the P Luna goes up, I'll end up with more Prism. And I don't care which one I get more of, because I think both are fine. So especially because I bought both at a reasonable price, early on, both sides are going up. And, you know, like I'm looking at my like pool and my value now, and, you know, everything has gone up from where I started. So I'm pretty happy with that. On top of that, you're basically getting the transactional yield because of all the people trading on those that pair. The APR is currently 25.47%, which is also amazing, considering that basically PLUNA normally doesn't have any yield, right? And the staked Prism was about a yield of about 25%. So now I took a PLUNA token that had no yield, coupled with a Prism that does already, and I'm getting a decent 25% APY as a pool provider in a pool that I think on the whole was going to go up in value, and I'm going to get the auto compounding APR. So that APR is paid to you in both the Prism token and PLUNA. So it'll just basically pay you to keep, but it'll keep the balance between the two pools, right? So if it so happens that Prism's price is down and PLUNA's up, then the APR is actually going to disproportionately benefit your Prism side and vice versa. So you can basically think about each of these pools and decide whether they're, you know, something you want to play in or not. But there's Prism Luna pool, there's Prism Y Luna, Prism C Luna. C Luna is like the intermediary where, you know, you convert when you're going from Y Luna and P Luna, you're merging them back together. C Luna is the like it's almost like B Luna, except that the yield goes to the protocol. So it's basically like a sort of useless for me, you and me to hold C Luna for any obvious reason. But someone had to provide liquidity on this pool, so there is, you know, a pool with the C Luna Prism combo there. that's not among my favorite ones just because the yield's low and I don't but the price action will be exactly like Luna. So there won't be any difference realistically between the Prism Luna and the Prism C Luna pools in terms of price action risk.
That segues into my question, actually, too. Did you see, I can't remember who it was, they said they were refracting ANK token on the testnet. And maybe it was Ryan Line or somebody, but
these how are would possibilities.
That work out?
Yeah.
How would they refract these other altcoins? Would they be the same way?
Yeah, you can refract pretty much anything, like into the principal and yield portions, so that you can, stake the yield side and whatnot, and basically same concept as we're doing here. But real quick, then there's the Prism X Prism pool here, which technically both are going to be pretty close. The X Prism is going to rise in value more so than Prism naturally because it's the liquid staked coin. And as that rise in value, it's going to rebalance and get you more Prism token. So in the end, it's going to be pretty balanced. The APR is about 12.9% right now, which is, I would say, relatively low. I would rather just stake the X Prism token personally.
Yeah.
There's not an obvious reason for me to want only 12.9% right now. So anyway, you have to understand liquidity pools. But I think the one that's most interesting to me in this pile of pools is the PLUNA Prism pool, because if you have PLUNA anyway, because you're refracted and you're not worried about it, and you have some Prism and you want to, you know, pile it in here, it's an option. But you don't really have to do any of these necessarily if you don't understand what they are.
Yeah, Y is the only one you have to hold, right? Is it Y is the only one we need to hold on to?
Well, Y Luna is the one that has the yield, right? And you're getting the amps boost and all that business. So yeah, you would want to hold that for the yield theoretically. And then P Luna, you can decide what you want to do with it.
Yeah. The advantage of using the P Luna Prism pool is that, you know, if Luna moons, I think on average P Luna has been about, you know, between like 13 and 18% of the total value of Luna. So if you're not going to want to have to go buy back, the advantage of throwing it into the PLUNA Prism LP is that not only are you earning 25% on that, when the time comes that you'd like to unstake your YLUNA, you're not going to have to maybe, you know, buy PLUNA back at, you know, $25 a pop to either recombine it, or, I mean, obviously you could just take your YLUNA and sell it outright, but
yeah, assuming you didn't just hold your PLUNA waiting, right? Because you might as well use the PLUNA for something almost. It's like, it doesn't seem rational to me to just hold it. You know, yeah. So one option would be, for example, you could sell half of it. You could get the Prism token with it. You can put the other half into the P Luna for the pool, right? So it's 50-50. And then you could, if the price of Luna goes up, it's fine, because typically Prism tracks the price of Luna. Because it's in so many pairs with Luna, it automatically rebalances to go up. So usually you'll see that if Luna goes up, Prism automatically goes up. Therefore, you wind up with more Prism token, right? Because the AMM is going to sell Prism into the P Luna side of it. So when you do eventually go back to convert your Y Luna, like let's say you want to go back to Luna and you want to combine it back together for some reason, then you'll still have you'll still have a considerable portion of your P Luna still remaining, but you'll also have the yield that you're getting, you know, while waiting as well. So it's another little tactic you could do. You know, there's other ways too. Like what I just did was I took my P Luna, it jumped in price suddenly, and I just bought regular bonded Luna, and then I can go throw that Nexus protocol for a good solid, you know, 13%, 14% yield if I want to, or I can simply take the, like I can take that bonded Luna and do the ARB again, right? I could just, you know, burn it and then, you know, earn 2% off of it in, you know, quickly over 21 days. So there's a lot of interesting possibilities, but it's almost like you want to have your money earning something, not just sitting there doing nothing most of the time. And that's where you can do some neat tricks with this.
Yeah, I think that's some good advice there, Sefi, on this. You know, I think LP, I did post the LP calculator up top. It, you know, just know that LP percentages change, but it can maybe give you a good idea of what you could earn over the year if it holds steady. But no LP really stays steady across the year, so just know that. But essentially, once you have the two sides of the token, you provide the 50-50. And with all the things that Sefi just said, you kind of want to pick based off of your thesis on what's going to happen. So I guess we've covered, I would say, most everything on Prism. I mean, we started Refract, we went to Stake, we went to Swap, we did Govern, and we did Pools. Do people want to come up for questions? And maybe in the meantime, Sefi, maybe you want to talk about what maybe your thoughts are and where Prism could go in the future, or what you would like to see it do in the future?
Yeah, I'd say with all the different possible refracted assets, you'd like to see the Prism token itself, because it has to be bought to be supplied into all those LP pools. Rationally, I think you should see the Prism token. I think it should be one of those tokens that's probably going to be in the, like, maybe, you know, $2 to $5 range kind of thing. Because, like, if we have this much Prism purchases just for Luna, you can imagine that there'll be people using it for all sorts of things on when Atom comes, and the yield on Atom is substantially higher than Luna. So, you know, that might be a reason why people are going to refract that. And then, really any number of assets that emerge will need the Prism token paired with it. So one of the reasons why P Luna is going to go up in value over time is to pair in LPs. The second reason it's going to go up is because the more people that participate in all those things, the more interested they're going to be in having that AMP capability. And this is especially true if there's like a war going on, essentially, between different DAOs and people in Wales who want to acquire the Prism token so that they can get a broader portion of the yield booster effect, right? Because it's the booster effect is based on your proportion of ownership of the Prism token. So the more of it you get, the more of it you can actually auto-compound as well quicker. And the more of the staking yield you acquire, in the sense that, like, you want to get the maximum portion of the Prism pool possible that's available to you. The other thing is, because the staked percentage is already, like, what is it now? 78 or 79%? Let me see.
Which one?
The Prism token. It's, yeah, the staked percentage is already 78% of all Prism tokens are staked, right? Like, how often in DeFi is 78% of anything staked? So you don't have that much Prism left. And eventually what happens is the price just goes completely bonkers at some point. Now, keep in mind, if price goes bonkers, you will find sellers. But that's fine, because that's why I'm in the LP, and I like the staking position, because the more action there is on the site. So you want sellers in the sense that, like, the more action there's on the site, the more transactional yield comes back to the stakers, right? Like, the more volatility there is. So I think Prism's token price will just start soaring at some point, because there's just not going to be any more of it. And it'll be a true supply shock situation. That's my suspicion.
Yeah, I'm with you on that boat. Any questions, come up and ask, guys, on Prism. So if you want to talk about the LP pools, you want to talk about the swap, the refract, the amps, come up and ask.
And part of what's weird about this whole system, by the way, is like, people are like, why does this even exist? You know, like, why would people want to be doing this at all? And it's because you can basically preserve the ability to speculate on price action. You get a slightly different speculative price action than just Luna's price itself, but you can be exposed to Luna pretty much indirectly the entire time in one way or the other. You can still do interesting things with the yield of your Luna. It's a different type of sort of yield package, so to speak. And then the other thing that was interesting about it is the idea that later there's going to be certain maturities where basically, 3 month, 6 month, 9 month, and 12 month maturities where you'll essentially get different types of valuations based on some time based factors as well, in terms of, you know, how long you commit to holding P Luna or Y Luna or whatever. And that might have impact on your final pricing and rate. So I don't know how all that works. I'm not really a maturities expert or whatever you call it. But there's when Hyperion's on, he has some interesting takes on why some of the newer pieces of this puzzle are going to be forming like a comprehensive derivative community revolving around the yield versus principal portions of coins. And it's a very unique project in DeFi, I would say. It's sort of one of those big brain projects that really is unique to a set of assets that essentially earn a sizable amount of yield. So you can do these weird sort of permutations with everything. And that's another reason why I think I've been interested in this particular project is I think that there's a lot of interesting use cases for it. Making use of the yield portion and then taking the principal portion for governance wars, where, let's say, for example, you wanted to have a stronger governance say in Terra, and the P Luna portion, you know, eventually has the governance properties, which are going to come to Luna, then what will happen is you might be able to get five times the amount of governance capability by buying the P Luna token and giving up the yield because you don't care. Because you're a whale on Terra and you want to have the possibility of having more voting rights or something like that. So there's some interesting permutations that come about, and the retail investor may not notice all these things because you may not have been involved with like a governance war or something like that. But there are plenty of reasons why splitting these two things, there are utilities that are behind them, whether you notice them or not. It takes a little bit of time in DeFi to sort of get a feel for it. But I think it's useful primarily for you guys. If you're just like retail users, the main use is going to be figuring out how to optimize the best sort of monetary outcome for yourselves and how to like develop a strategy around using these things.
So I have a question before Sugar comes up. Hopefully you guys can hear this. I think you touched upon this, Steffi, but the risks around this protocol. So what do you guys think are the risks around the protocol?
Well, one would be you wind up with less Luna than you started with because you do something really weird. so I don't recommend, if you don't know what you're doing with the trading aspect of it, I would just hold my PLUNA in the wallet. If I refract, I would use the YLUNA for the staking portion, maybe do the AMPS thing to the extent that you feel comfortable in terms of your PLUNA, your Prism token exposure risk, and then kind of stop right there. Like, you don't need to do anything fancy beyond that.
Good answer there. Sugar's having some problem connecting. Hold on. Am I getting better or no?
Yeah, it's just coming in and out just randomly.
Okay, good to know. Let me see if I can find Sugar. Sugar. I don't know where he went.
And everyone else can hear, I think. It's just the speakers up here that are getting screwed.
Sykes is going to create a dummy account that we can use as host so we can all talk to each other to go forward, which would be good. Okay, Sugar is not able to come up. Not sure. I think that's it, Steffi, unless there's anything else we want to cover. I mean, that was kind of the basics. I think we gave everyone the walk.
Yeah, maybe we should cover briefly why the PLUNA and YLUNA components appear to be priced the way they are at this point, just so people kind of get a feeling for price strategy. So think about it this way. What is the cheapest way at this moment for you to get YLUNA? The cheapest way, in theory, is if you already have LUNA and you refract it, then let's say LUNA is $100 and you refract into YLUNA and PLUNA. You're going to get 50% of the value in YLUNA and 50% in PLUNA. And at that moment, in theory, each is worth $50, right? Because if you put them back together, it's worth $100. So if YLUNA right now is much higher, let's say it's $75, that means that I'm actually getting YLUNA for cheaper that way, in a sense, than if I were to pay cash for it by just going to the AMM. But that also leaves me with a pile of PLUNA that is not earning me anything potentially and is just sitting there, and that has to be considered in that equation. On the other hand, by refracting, I'm actually sort of paying too much for PLUNA in a way, if you think about it. And the cheapest way to acquire more PLUNA at this moment is to just simply buy it outright with UST, right? Because it's, let's say it's only $25 compared to $75. So that's an interesting sort of dynamic where you have to think through like what component you want, and based on what you want, and what you think the price action is going to do, you could, find a cheaper way to get one or the other. The reason why YLUNA appears to be priced higher is because the thought is, well, people want more yield exposure because LUNA yields are high, and they're selling their PLUNA that they refract, buying more YLUNA and getting more of like the AMPS exposure, for example, right? Because right now you have really high AMP exposure, so your YLUNA price is relatively high. There's no purpose for the PLUNA right now, not a distinct purpose at least, and therefore it seems to be valued less because people are selling it to do other things. So what are the utilities for PLUNA right now? The only utilities that we know of are, one, you could be in the PLUNA Prism LP. Two, you need PLUNA to merge back to LUNA, by merging back from your YLUNA. So that's really the only two utilities right now, because PLUNA, otherwise you could just sell it for UST. You could hold it there waiting to merge back later. You could, it doesn't have the governance properties yet, so you can't vote with it like you do with your regular LUNA. So there's a sort of a limited function. Later, PLUNA is going to have some value because you may be able to use it as collateral on places like Mars Protocol, so you could borrow against your PLUNA. So you might be in a situation where you can stake your YLUNA, get the yield off of that, don't risk any of that, and then borrow using your PLUNA as collateral on Mars, and then do some interesting things with that at that point. So all these kind of permutations are possible. But like what I did today, like where I saw the P Luna price jump, I was like, ooh, that's neat. That's just like basically free money in a sense. And I sold that, and then I just bought more Luna with it. And you know, and then did the B Luna arbitrage and got another 2.5%, and then that kind of thing. So later I could convert it back to P Luna, or I could just take that bonded Luna, borrow off of it, buy more you know, I could buy more Y Luna if I wanted to, and you know, if the yields are high, or I could maybe if Prism takes a dip, I could buy more of the Prism token or whatever. So all I'm ever doing in DeFi is I'm looking for the coins that have a high probability of going up long term, and I'm trying to nibble at getting little bits of them when, you know, any individual component is cheaper than the norm. So any serious dump, and I just go and get a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and then accumulate them to the point where it all adds up over time. Does that make sense? So like the nice thing about this new little system is, like, not only can I can sometimes wait for discounts on Luna, but if P Luna is super discounted for some reason, I could just nibble at that and get some of that instead. And if that goes up, it might go up in price much quicker than Luna, because to move the P Luna price is relatively illiquid. It can jump up relatively quickly. So the lower it goes, all I have to do is get more. So dynamic dollar cost average into the P Luna. And the odds of that being relatively profitable while still getting relative relative price exposure to Luna, and I can convert it back to Luna anytime I want anyway. I could sell it outright, convert it to Luna. I could, you know, merge it with Y Luna and convert it to Luna. So it's, you know, it's sort of like it's like Lego block of Luna. And you can almost imagine it's very similar to just owning it, but now being able to play the price action without worrying about losing any of your yields. So that's the idea there. So I know it's complicated. It's you gotta like think this through and play around.
Have you personally bought any of the refracted item or Lunas besides what you got from just the Luna refracting itself? Like Y on the side?
Yes. What happened was when the protocol first opened, for some reason, Y Luna was substantially cheaper than the P Luna portion. So I bought that, and I think it went up like 30% or something, and I just sold it. And then I just paid UST for it. So I just speculated. I decided I was going to buy whichever one's cheaper, because I'll do the opposite of what everyone else does. And for some reason, Y Luna was cheaper. It went up. I sold it. Then P Luna went down. I bought it. It went up. I sold it again. And then I took all of the money I made from that and bought the Prism token, which someone dumped. And then that went down to 24 cents and I bought that. So basically, like, whatever I'm playing with now is essentially house money, because like over and over, I just did the opposite of what everyone else is doing and then just watched it go up. It's a simple, that's what's interesting. The Y Luna and P Luna sort of act as kind of a pendulum against each other in a sense. There are also, by the way, arbitrage opportunities that emerge. Like periodically, if you use Arbibot, you can actually find that the Y Luna P Luna combination price is sometimes higher than Luna itself because of market inefficiencies or whatever. And what you can do in those instances is you could actually refract Luna. You can sell both components immediately. Pocket the benefit and then go buy yourself some more Luna, because now, like, whatever percentage off they were, you just now made like free money out of thin air, which is kind of funny. So the pricing of those two can sometimes be off peg when you add them together compared to Luna itself and things like that.
Okay. Can you guys hear me, Seffy?
Yeah,
you're good. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Question, cause they can come up. How have they originally determined the principal price versus yield price?
Well, nobody determined anything. When you refract them, you get half of each, right? You get one Y Luna, one P Luna for every Luna that you refract.
Hello.
And they go on the market, and however much people bought and sold them, that's how the market determined the price. There's no other magic beyond that. It goes on the exchange, and then like, you know, if more people buy Y Luna, the Y Luna goes up. If more people buy P Luna, it goes up, and vice versa for selling.
Go ahead, Holy Moly.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry. Right now it's breaking up right now because I think I'm on speaker. But I just had a quick question. So I just refracted my Luna to P Luna and Y Luna, and I staked my Y Luna. And I think it's just because I don't have the Prism token, but when I go to the pools and I try to provide, it says that I don't have any available P Luna. But when I actually go to the swap pool, Luna there. So as I yeah, Prism token, I just wanted to double check with that.
What are you trying to do? You're trying to stake your Y Luna, or what are you trying to do?
I staked my Y Luna already, but I wanted to stake. I also wanted to put into liquidity pool the P Luna.
Yeah, you need Prism.
Yeah, so as long as as soon as I acquire Prism, because right now it just says I have zero available P Luna.
Yes,
so as soon as I provide Prism, then it will show my available P Luna.
It'll show your available Prism, which then you can stake your P Luna and Prism.
Oh. Yeah, if it doesn't show it, you might have to refresh too. Your P Luna might not be showing up because you didn't like it.
So how much? So based off what your P Luna has, figure out the value. You need the same value of Prism to put in your LP because it's a 50-50 balance. Remember that.
Oh, okay.
Let me know.
Sorry, it's cutting in and out, but I appreciate you answering the question.
Yeah, I'll drop you down and re-answer it. Hold on. Okay. Holy moly! If you have P Luna, you don't have Prism yet. Make sure you have a 50-50 balance of Prism and P Luna. So calculate what the value of P Luna is that you have. And if you want to stake it all in the LP of P Luna and Prism, buy that amount of Prism and then you can throw in the LP.
You sounded completely clear to me that time.
This Twitter bug's very annoying. I keep tweeting at Twitter Spaces.
For that holy smokes that was just, or whatever his name was. Sorry, I was coming up so I didn't catch it.
Holy moly, unmoly, Peter.
Okay. Get it right, dude. what I usually like to do in that instance, since the numbers fluctuate quite a bit, what I'll do is you can go to that swap tab and you put in the amount of P Luna you have. So if you have 10, then you can kind of, if you leave the bottom one to Prism, you can see like, oh, if I have 10 P Luna, I need 299 Prism. So usually I'll just bump that number up by a few just to make sure, because you know you're going to lose some via slippage. And then you can hit that, you know, swap seize button in the middle and then just change or just change the, you know, the P Luna to UST and make sure your numbers are even. So that way you don't have to really do too much like maths, but
that's
usually how I figure out like how much Prism I'm going to need to do my LP pool.
Go ahead. More coins, more coin YouTuber.
All right. Can you guys hear me?
Yep.
Okay, so I just want to make sure, one, that I kind of understand the basics, and then I have like a simple question for Sefi. So basically, the way I understand it so far is the real attraction for the Prism protocol isn't really here yet. We're just kind of in the early stages, and you're trying to build build a dollar cost average position in the Prism token because you believe there's going to be a supply shock later on because of a bunch of factors that you named earlier, which I won't go through all of them right now. Is that kind of the gist?
Yeah, I didn't mean to use a laugh emoji, by the way. I accidentally pushed a button, made it look like I'm laughing at your question. No, you're fundamentally speculating on several different outcomes. You're speculating on what people think the value of these individual components is, and you could be speculating in that area if you have some intuition about why the price of one or the other might go up over time. And notice, like, there's a fair amount of, I guess, education that's required to understand why these things might go up, as well as future events that might push one or the other up or down, right? I think, yeah, and then the Prism token, the speculation is that more of it will be needed to supply in the various different pools. And if you believe that this will be a popular sort of subdex, as it were, of the Terra ecosystem, which I think it will be because it's so unique. And there's so many ways which you can find utility depending on whether you prefer more yield exposure or more principal exposure. There So you're also speculating on the Prism token as well. So you, but you can actually technically speculate on just the Prism token itself without doing everything else. But then you're not basically getting the full utility out of the thing, right? You're not getting the AMP utility or the Wiluna boosting utility. So the AMP system and the ownership of the Prism token is meant to basically benefit the people who are most likely to use the system as opposed to pure speculators. Why is that good? That's good because then the holding pressure for the token is more, because you hope that the significant portion of the holders of the Prism token are going to want to hold it long term and therefore have a positive value accrual mechanism. As so you're trying to attract, anytime to a governance token, you're trying to attract non-speculators actually, so that there's a you know, that longer term price effect. Now, it is important to just realize that anytime something does like a 5x or a 10x, you're going to find some sellers in there, right? Like, so it's a free market. So it's not, you shouldn't never expect these things to be up only. That's, you know, that doesn't make any sense. The things are going to be speculated upon. Things will go up and down in a free market. Does that answer the question? I think,
well, yeah, that answers the first half of my question. If you could bear with me.
Repeat the other half again. Yeah. So I can make sure we cover it.
Oh, I didn't ask it yet, but I will ask right now.
Oh, yeah, shoot, go for it.
The second half of my question is, what are you looking for? Because I kind of, after listening today, I kind of understand the overarching thesis of why this thing could be valuable. But what I'm trying to understand is, what are you looking for that would say to you, okay, that thesis has been invalidated. I need to start moving away from this. Like, what are the ways in which this goes wrong? And you say, all right, it's time to pull out. Like, what would you be looking for to tell you that?
Well, for starters, the first thing to understand is that Luna's yield as a proportion of its total value is going to go down as Luna's price goes up. So this is something that if you don't know, you may understand like how to use the system properly. So let's say Luna's price is $200. Luna's yield is derived as part Luna, part UST. The UST portion is actually relatively fixed per Luna that you own, not necessarily how much the Luna is worth. On the other hand, the Luna portion of the yield, which is I think around 40 to 50%, is basically based on the Luna price itself. So what ends up happening is, and it's already started to happen, as Luna's price has been rising, you'll notice that the APY that's listed is lower. So if you are holding the Wiluna token, your yield comparative to the price of Wiluna is not as interesting as the price goes up. You're still making the same money in a sense, but as a percentage-wise, it's not going to keep up the same way. So there is a little bit of speculation from the perspective of how much Wiluna people think it's worth based on that piece of knowledge. And when you bring other assets into Prism, like, for example, Atom and, I don't know, a Polkadot or whatever, the yield mechanics for those are very different. And the utility of why you would want to refract those is different, and how you the type of strategies are all different. I think this system will always have utility for people. Like, there's going to be reasons to use it always. There's not really a reason where everyone just sort of like exits and says, hey, I don't think this is helpful anymore. There is a layer here that is sort of a utility function that there's going to be users. Is it going to be necessarily always the most popular thing to do? I have no idea. Like, I suppose it may not be. But I, in my mind, I'm using it now and I find it to be useful. And I find it to be useful to have a larger portion of the Prism token. As far as like exit, do you mean like if there's something wrong with the protocol, or do you mean like, is there a point at which you'd be like selling the Prism token or something like that? Like, are you worried about more price risk, or you're talking about just like the protocol's broken somehow?
Well, I guess because I'm just starting to understand the I guess the value of what the protocol offers. I'm wondering if there's something that I'm not seeing in terms of what could go wrong that would cause that value to be, I guess it's easier to say just invaluable or unvaluable. Or
but do you mean the protocol in general, or you mean the price of the Prism token specifically?
The protocol in general.
Yeah, protocol in general, I think it either has utility or it doesn't. And that should be in perpetuity in a sense. The beauty of this protocol too is the yield for the LP farms and such. It is not some kind of inflationary like pseudo yield. It is actually people transacting on it that ends up giving you the LP rewards, which is really a fundamentally important thing. So there's no liquidity to run out of, so to speak, in order to incentivize the LP providers and such. So that's a good thing about this particular protocol.
You haven't touched upon when you can actually use your P Luna for collateral in the future too. I mean, there's more things coming.
Right. There's more things coming. You're going to be able to use your Y Luna on Kinetic Money, which is another protocol where you can basically take all your yield now and have a self-repaying loan off your Y Luna. For example, let's say I have $1 million of Y Luna and I'm expecting 5% yield on that. So, I'm expecting a $50,000, yield over the coming year. Kinetic Money will allow me ultimately to pledge my Y Luna there. And I could take, let's say a $50,000 loan and, it'll self-repay that loan over the period of a year. But I can get my 50K now, in other words, claim the yield early. And that's going to be one example of one of the utilities of Y Luna. And P Luna, just by being just having value, you'll be able to use that as collateral on something like Mars Protocol. So what Prism is it's a really, really great DeFi set of primitives that you can then compose other protocols and functions around the strategies that come from these tokens. So it's really a pretty interesting experience. I don't see the protocol becoming suddenly unpopular for any obvious reason, number one. Any protocol in DeFi can have some kind of a smart contract risk or an exploit or some problem that auditors have not recognized, obviously. So always be careful with that. And then obviously there could be situations where maybe the Prism token is not as valuable because let's say yields are going down and people don't want the token as much or whatever. There could be those problems in theory. But ultimately the Prism token itself, like I said, has to be used in all the different incentivization pools. I'm sorry, the LP pools, and therefore has deterministic price value, very similar to the Rune token has. In that it doesn't, otherwise the system's yield is actually coming from transactional fees on the network and not necessarily from magic inflation money only, right? Out of DeFi platforms. So I don't see too many real mega risks in this one, which is why I'm more interested in this protocol versus a lot of others in the Terra ecosystem.
And I would say long term, right, to add that, I want to see this grow over time, more assets coming, that token being utilized more, an appreciation of it happen just over time.
Yeah, and maybe I answered your question or not. I'm not sure, but I don't think there's any mega risks outside of some kind of smart contract or exploit risk like any DeFi platform might have.
I think I understand what you're saying. And the way I'm internalizing that is, as long as people find it valuable, there doesn't seem to be any kind of mega risk outside of smart contract risk.
Yes.
And so basically, as long as people use it, it's good. It should be, in your view, good to go.
Yeah, there's a lot of DeFi sort of DEXs, and this is sort of a DEX in a sense, right? Because you have all these liquidity pools. There's a lot of DeFi platforms that incentivize their DEXs with all sorts of wild inflationary rewards. And then when the rewards run out, people flee the platform and they don't find any reason to provide liquidity. And then, of course, liquidity dries up and then the thing goes, belly up, which is a common problem in many, many like little DeFi LP platforms. And a lot of those things are sort of like scammy to begin with, because they are, you know, purposefully trying to bring in liquidity, run away with it, and then have you holding the bag with some shitty token that has inflationary yield that you don't want. And then that goes to zero because no one's using it. So I don't see that to be the problem in this type of protocol at all. And actually, Terraform Labs of Terra has, you know, in the background been, I think, assisting with and, you know, like helping with this particular protocol. So it's kind of been incubated in a sense in the background by them. And when TFL is involved, they know what they're doing, which helps like provide a little bit more confidence for me as an investor.
All right, let's is that good?
Thank you.
More
guys.
Coin?
Yeah.
Cool. 100%. Thanks, man. Thank coming you. Up. Sorry about this problems coming up too. Let's go to, I think it was Marinol next. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi Lucky. Hey, thank you for the basics. So hi Sifai. Hi Lucky. So my question is regarding Luna B Luna Arb versus Luna X and Luna Arb. What I noted is that Luna X Arb is like 0.5% more than Luna B Luna Arb always. Like, is there some other charges on swapping Luna X to Luna? Like, why is it always higher than B Luna and Luna? And the second part of my question is, like, suppose the price of Luna keeps rising, will the arbitrage start decreasing at some point in future? Thank you.
Are you talking about for the?
He's saying the Luna Luna X Arb is better than the Luna B Luna Arb on Astroport or TerraSwap, based off where you go.
Oh well, first off, let's not jump to that at this point. We can have a different discussion about that, just yeah, because it's not relevant to the actual Prism protocol, and I think Lucky's recording this specifically for this, right?
Yeah, so let's stick to Prism.
But the short answer is, I'm actually not sure what the right answer to your question is, actually, off the top of my head.
My top answer would be, anyway, if you find a better ARB and you want to wait 21 days, take it and just go back to Luna. I don't care which route you go.
Exactly.
That's my quick answer.
That's, yeah, Lucky's right. But anyway, but maybe Grayson next.
Hold on. He had, I think, a second question was, what was your second question?
Second one was like, since you told that since the price of Luna is rising, the validator yield would be decreasing. So similarly, like,
will the R be around? I think in general, I think what everyone should understand is, as more participants come to the network, the yields will continue to decrease over time. I think to your question, if the R will be around, I think it's TBD in my opinion, because as people still continue to leverage and loop and they burn quickly through the DEXs, I think there will be some type of ARB opportunity for those that are more patient. That's kind of my quick answer to you. I don't know if Sefi, you agree with that, but I would assume you would.
Yeah, all the various arbitrage opportunities tend to dissipate over time. One relevant one to the Prism discussion is that sometimes you'll notice that the C-Luna coin is cheaper than Luna. C-Luna is, of course, the liquid staked Luna that's part of the Prism protocol. And the problem with doing that ARB is the liquidity is very low. So what ends up happening is any serious amount of C-Luna that you want to purchase to do the ARB, there's too much slippage involved and you wind up not getting much of a deal. So there's not a really strong reason to play with that arbitrage, in my opinion. The C-Luna one, where sometimes that's cheaper, or usually it's cheaper than Luna. And don't play with that too much. The rest of the ARBs work fine.
And just for the listeners, you know, I could take $100 of USD and buy C-Luna, just like we've talked about in other sessions, where I take $100 of UST and buy B Luna. You do got to wait then for the burn of the 21 to 24 days to get back to Luna. But, you know, it's all about what your goal is. And if you're not playing with a lot of capital, you know, shop around, I would say. It's kind of like, you know, shopping around at your grocery stores or your, local Walmarts, Kmarts, Targets, Amazon, whatever's cheaper for a couple dollars you buy. In the end, it probably will pay off, but essentially for those that don't have a lot of liquidity that are that can move the market, because there's not a lot of liquidity on these DEXs, and the slippage will not be the best with more money. So, all right, let's go to the ball bagger.
And Lucky, it seems like there's less problems when less speakers are up here for some reason. So maybe as each person's done, kind of like kick them off the list so that we don't have as many distortion. Or bring everyone up one by one, maybe, see what happens.
Okay. The ball baggers, go ahead. Did you catch that, Seffy? Ball baggers?
No. Wait.
Ball baggers. Love the Bodos.
I'm not sure what you're saying. All I hear is your robotic voice saying something about balls.
Ball baggers. I'll keep saying it. Ball baggers. Ball okay. baggers.
So wait, what's the take home message from that? I don't get what you're saying.
Next person, whoever's next.
Oh, whoever's next. There's an actual person called Ball Baggers. Okay, the Ball Baggers. Okay, go ahead. Because on his name, all I can see is the, and I didn't realize what the hell you're talking about. Like, what?
Okay.
I guess he's off the grid here. Maybe Nick.
Go Nick.
Hey guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
I just joined the space not too long ago. So my question is about a tweet I just read from Seffy. It's about how you converted P Luna to UST at a higher price when Luna was down. So I'm trying to wrap my head around what's the benefit of doing that? So are you planning to buy back the P Luna when it's at a cheaper price and kind of recombine it into Luna and sell it?
Well, at the time I refracted, right, the P Luna was worth $12. It suddenly jumped to $17. I'm like, and I have my P Luna sitting there. So I figured sell it because why not? And, it's sort of like you're making a leverage sale of Luna. I went ahead and just took that P Luna and just bought more Luna with it. And then when Luna's dropping, that's when the arbitrage between Luna bonded Luna widens. So I got a 2.5% extra bonded Luna too in that move. So, and then I just burned that. Now, do I need to go and like buy P Luna back? I suppose I don't have to at this point, right? I could just simply keep my bonded Luna and call it a day. Or I could like sell it and get more P Luna because later I want to combine it back to Y Luna. Or later, if I feel like it, I could just sell the Y Luna one day, some point in the future. But right now, the yield's so high on the Y Luna, I plan to leave it alone. I just thought it was an interesting situation all of a sudden where P Luna's price jumped. And I could have actually sold it at that moment and bought more Y Luna too, actually. Come to think of it, but because that bonded Luna arb was instantaneous 2.5%, I was like, whatever, I just took it. So that was the idea. I don't know if it was the absolute best thing. I just was moving quickly because prices were going up and down. But sometimes the P Luna price, it takes time. Like if Luna jumps suddenly or drops suddenly, it was interesting because Luna dropped from like 100 down to like 96 really quickly. But the P Luna price didn't respond as quickly. It actually went up for some reason. So especially when you see like one go up and the other go down, you're essentially getting like, you're buying low and I'm sorry, you're selling high and buying low and getting the ARB in like a 1-2-3 step process. It was a win-win-win at that point. So that's why I did that. I just happened to notice at that moment when SIAC tweeted it, and I was like, oh shit, I'm going to go do that. So that's why, like, if you have a theory of how you're going to play this game with Prism, just think of it like a video game. I mean, basically, you have numerous price actions happening simultaneously that you might be able to take advantage of if you happen to be paying attention.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
I hate not being able to speak. Can you hear me, Seffy?
Yeah, you're back periodically. Yeah, you're okay.
So annoying. All right. Go ahead, Ant, and then we'll go to Brian.
Hey guys. Thanks for doing this. Question regarding Prism and how to view it as your atypical sort of farming token. So I get all the reasons that we have in place now for you to actually hold your token, i.e., you know, the way it's structured, similar to AUST or Luna X, where the fees get embedded back into the token. My only issue here is, at some point, there's going to be 130 million coins that's going to hit the market, right? And as these coins, so right now, it's, you know, the Prism is not inflationary, right? But over time, it will become so when 130 million of these tokens become unlocked. So my question to you is, Sefi, because I understand you kind of view Prism, again, atypical versus your regular farm token. How do you think the Prism price is going to react once this unlocking starts to take place?
Well, the unlocks, you always get sellers. So then it's simply a question of, you know, if price goes down, how many buyers come in to pick up that, you know, that cheaper Prism token at that point. So yeah, with any unlocks, you should assume that there's going to be at least some selling, right? Even if it's not all of it at one time, some of it's pretty much a given. So paying attention to that is not unreasonable in the process of what we're doing here, which is why also when the price was like less than 30 cents, I was like, guys, that's a good time to get it. Like, you know, now when price is sort of doubled from there, it's harder and harder to tell, right? Like how much price exposure you want to have. So these are those things where being early matters. This is why, like, I was like researching Prism for the last several months because I was waiting to sort of see what happens and play this game as it goes. But yeah, it's true of all of the coins in the market. Like, you shouldn't just ape into them, like Ant is saying, without concern for possibility of unlocks and inflationary pressure. So that's part of why I prefer to be in the governance token with a high APY, because it's generating so much. Let's say, you know, over the course of a year, you know, I get 25% APY, that's going to mitigate 25% of my downside price risk. So you have to consider the yield and the revenue yield as sort of a cushion against price changes. And I think this is one of those tokens, again, that if I'm going to hold it, I'm going to hold it for a mat, like for years, not for, you know, I want to hold it past any of those tokens emissions issues that you're describing. That's what I'm going to do. And if people dump it and I find that it's useful at those lower prices, then I will look to get some more of it, right? Like I could refract some of my Luna, keep the Y Luna and maybe sell the P Luna and get more Prism token or whatever, right? So there's options. Does that answer the question, Ant?
Yep. That's perfect. Thanks, Effie.
Yeah. No one should assume it can't go down in those circumstances. Yeah.
Got it.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Prism Protocol Beginner's Guide walkthrough recorded on Thursday, March 10th, 2022. This episode of The Ether was brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects and check them out online at glowyield.com. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether was also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening.
Mutation. It is the key to our evolution. It has enabled us to evolve from a single-celled organism into the dominant species on the planet. This process is slow, normally taking thousands and thousands of years. But every few hundred millennia, evolution leaps forward.
Diving through the forest, looking for the door to the portal. Said it'll take me down a corridor. I'm ignoring the warning, storing importance. The cord looks sourced from ancient coordinates. Smells like musty mutants, trust me. I've been hunting bugs since the leaves started rustling. I must be getting close, yo, the scene is disgusting. Parasitic mutation, leeching off the country. Grab a couple samples and defy their custody. Feeding gamma rays to the beast at peak velocity. Mutating awesomely, pre-say don't wanna me. Taking all the scraps and feed them to the lottery. Always evolving to defy the possibly. These are the things that will scream irresponsibly. Feeling uneasy, these genes get them off of me. I don't mean to trip, but am I mutating properly? We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this. Breathing getting heavy, I can feel it in my arms, but I can't stop now.
Mutation.
It's an art form, don't be alarmed. If you see me looking odd when I'm out on the farm, spinning crop circles in your yard, reaching the stars. Need a way to get across. Got this little
mutation,
lets me hack key cards. Scene looking like it came out the first three saws. Flexing like Rex when I mutate the precog. Leaders trying to research this genetic seesaw. Give me all the science and we'll leave you with the pre-slaw. Writers believe they bleed these endorsements, turning scientists into terror supporters. Gotta seize the spoils and release the spores. It's time to forage through DNA lore. So sink it or swim, silly Alice. Take the pill and see we're all mad here. Taking over your facility. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. We are the mutants. Unlock the lab, it's time to do this.
Terra Spaces.